All right, well, let's get started in our class tonight. This is an introduction. You have your cards, okay? And I want to, this is going to be an interactive class in the next few weeks. We're going to have 3 weeks on this series of this subject of faith in motion. What is faith in motion? Practically, specifically, how can I get my faith in motion? So at the end of the class tonight, I'm going to ask you to write down for you personally what moves your faith. Don't do it now. At the end. And then we're going to collect all those cards. And periodically during the class, we're going to share what moves your faith. Okay? I hope your faith was just what we heard now, your faith was moved. Okay? But practically speaking, what moves your faith? All right? You know, just to begin, God has been working in our region, particularly in the marriage ministry. We've seen people being baptized. We've seen people being added to our number. We've also seen in other ministries. 2 weeks ago, Wendell preached the word. What's God doing among our singles? He's raising up single men. And then he did a phenomenal job. I mean, I wasn't here, but I heard about it. And it was amazing. I mean, that God is working. Faith in motion in our singles. That a young man can step up here and inspire us. Not just with his words, but with his life. And then last week, this past Sunday, what did you hear? Mike Mead, our brand new youth minister, preached the word. And it was amazing. And not only that, to hear our team sharing about the great things that are happening and the decisions that they've made after team camp. God's working. And I've heard so many teens, their confessions when they were up there and their decisions, their lives are going to change for the better, for God. God's working. But I want to make sure as married couples that we don't watch God work, but we get in the game. And we become part of that faith in motion. Okay, it's very important for us to get our faith going so that we can be a part of it, because that is what God's will for our lives is, that each one of us can be moving in our faith and can be active in our faith. God wants to do so much more. If we've seen a little bit, He wants to do so much more in our ministry, particularly the marriage ministry. I want to encourage you. The marriage ministry right now in the region is leading the way in faith and growth, and people being added to our number. That's never been the case for a long time. And that's just showing you guys have the capacity to do whatever the Latin ministry is doing, the campus ministry is doing, the singles ministry is doing. You guys are awesome. God's using your faith. And we need to feel that. And I believe if we get the married ministry going, watch out. Because we're the rock. We're the stronghold. We affect our kids. We affect other couples around us. We're a light in our communities. People look at us and they go, "You mean you have a good marriage? What's that?" And so that's what we need to get. But I'm concerned that maybe some of us are watching it pass us by. So we're going to learn and take some time to get our faith in motion. Are you with me? Well, let's begin our first scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is some encouragement. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness." What's that tell you right there? What do you lack? You don't lack anything. You have everything that you need. Maybe not that you want. That maybe is our struggle. We want this, that, and the other. But what you need, you have. And what do you have? Divine power. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. You know, there's no greater promise. There's no better promise than to know it's okay with my soul. And my soul is in a good place. I'm okay. And if your kids are right with God, they're okay. They can have a terrible accident. It would hurt, but they're okay because God's got them covered. And then it says, goes on to say, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. That means we're up here, we're a level above, a divine nature. Not, like the animals out there in the world who are going after things, backbiting and everything else. No, we're up here. We have a divine nature. We're thinking differently. And escape what? The corruption of in the world caused by evil desires. We can escape all of that and be protected from all of that. If we escape it, guess who else escapes it? Our kids. One of the things that came out of teen camp is they have a very special night on Wednesday night. It's called Confession Night. I just want to let you know, the corruption of the world is knocking at your kids' door. Mm-hmm. And they got open about it. And some of the stuff was pretty intense. Okay, but the nice thing is they can escape. All these other teens, all these other kids that don't go to events like this, there's no break. It goes from bad to worse. There's no confession. There's no bar set like it shouldn't be this way. No, it's just normal. And then you hear stories like what Mike shared about some of his friends whose lives are ruined. And they go on to ruin other people's lives. So God is helping us to escape. And here are some of the promises. God gives us His Holy Spirit. You have a part of God in you if you are His child, if you've been saved, if you have HBO, heard, believed, and obeyed. Meaning you repented, you confessed, and you were baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. To overcome. And then divine promises, like it talked about in that scripture. And then transformation. Kevin came up to me on Sunday after the service and he said, I don't know my son anymore. I don't know that guy. He was blown away. And you know what? I told him, that's just the beginning. You're going to see Mike. He's going to be married. He's going to be a grown man, changing lives, having impact. And so from open mouth, it's going to go even bigger. His jaw is going to drop. But that's an inspiration that you and I can be transformed. How's the transformation going in your life right now? Are you done? I'm not done, guys. Are you done? God wants to do so much with you. He's ready. He's not finished with you yet. I don't care if you're 60, 70, how old? Harry? How old are you, Harry? Hello. How old are you?
How old are you?
85. Is God done with you yet? Is He done changing you yet? Okay. Can you just translate? Even if you're 85 years old, God's not finished with you yet. God can keep changing us. God gives us purpose. I mean, hearing Johnny share about his purpose, he's changing lives. And the effect that it can have on other people. He gives us purpose. He gives us a great fellowship. What do we have here? Heard it tonight. Daryl shared. Just sitting there with Lev and prayer. And just sharing their lives. That's a blessing. People don't have that. I feel blessed because I have people around me when I go through challenges, when my faith is challenged. I can call, and I got a text from a brother today. He said, blue skies and sunshine are there for you. And that encouraged me because I was not feeling blue skies and sunshine at the moment. And it helped me. It really encouraged me in my heart. We have a great fellowship. I'm grateful to have friends like Will and that encourage me. And we have what? And you heard it about it tonight in the faith news. We have a direct line to God. Do you appreciate that? That you can talk to your Father and He listens. And on many occasions He answers your specific prayers. I've been praying for my mom and dad as one of my big prayers this year. And then I got an email from Phil Wadsworth, from his sister, no, his mom. Isn't it his mom, Sandy? It's his mom, her sister. Sandy. Who's Sandy in relation to Phil Wadsworth? In Gainesville. Margaret's his mom. Who's Sandy? Anyways. I get a note from Sandy. She says, I'm an empty nester. I got a lot of time on my hands. We just moved to the same neighborhood as your mom and dad, and I want to reach out to them. And she wanted their information. Now, my big prayer is that God will change him and they'll get right with him. But that, you know, that may or may not happen. But let me tell you, God's giving him every opportunity. And that encourages me that there's people that I don't even know that are willing to reach out to my mom and dad. That's God. He's been hearing those big prayers. That happened this week. I'm not done with my big prayers. I hope you're not. We have a direct line to his ear. And we have many other gifts. We can go on and on and on. But, you know, we got to finish sometime tonight. Look at this photograph. What do you see there? What's that? It's a fountain. Do you know why they have this fountain? Some people think it's beautification. It looks nice. It sounds nice. But you know what its real purpose is? Aerification? Yeah. You know why? If you don't do this, this is what happens. Now you can't get the sense, but if you're from the south like I am, where it's hot and humid, and you see this, there's some noises that come with it, and there's also a strong smell that comes with this. And it's not a nice flowery smell either. It's nasty. This is what happens when you let water stand stagnant. Another great illustration. It turns green. I have a good friend of mine. He has a pool in his backyard, and for a couple of months his pump broke. And the pool turned a dark green. Nasty. And then he told me, oh yeah, we had a baptism here the other night. So we need to pray for that sister. We need to pray for her. What great faith. I said, don't do that. Have somebody go to the ocean. They don't live too far from the ocean. But the good thing is he got that cleaned up. But that's what happens. Why am I showing you all this? Our faith. It's the same as water. But if you don't aerate it and you don't move it, the same thing happens. It becomes stagnant. And it won't move. And it affects your life. It affects your spirituality. I've seen people fall away over stagnant faith. Great things are happening all around them. And God's working. And they're going, wow, God's working. But they're not doing anything for their faith. So if there's anything you get from this series in the next 3 weeks, it's this one thing I want to encourage you to do. Move your faith. Move your faith. And it's your responsibility to move your faith. All those wonderful gifts that we talked about in the beginning, right? Those are gifts God gives you. You have a responsibility to use those gifts, to put those gifts into motion. If you don't, it's a waste. Here's a scripture that talks about that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, it says, for this very reason, make every effort. How much? Every effort. Say it together with me. Every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in what? In increasing measure. Means it's moving, it's growing, it's changing. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, listen to this, strong warning. If anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. What happens then? You leave God. All kinds of bad things. You get into sin. Bad things happen when you become this way. How important is it for us to keep our faith moving and have faith in motion? Even with challenges, sometimes God will send you a challenge. For what reason? You know, you feel low and you go, oh man, why were these bad things happening? You know, Robert Lichtfeld, he's down with the kids. He comes up to me and said, man, Satan's on the attack this week.
Yeah.
He lost his keys on Monday night, and then his other car got egged in front of the house. You know, you go, that's nothing, you know, but it'll ruin your paint job. And it's nasty, it stinks. It just discouraged him. And then he almost got hit, you know, got in two car accidents on the way here, and so he's feeling it. What do you think God's trying to do and allow in his life through all this stuff? Move him around. And sometimes God will do that. He will allow it. He won't cause it, but he will allow it. To move your faith. He'll give you a challenge. He'll shake you up. And he's done it. You can read examples in the Bible. But the important thing is, guys, we've got this responsibility. Peter is saying, you've got to make every effort to add to your faith. Don't let your faith stay still. Don't let your faith flatline. You've got to make sure that you're doing everything you can so your faith is increasing. And when you see someone else's faith increasing and growing and they're inspiring you, you need to get with them and you say, hey, how can I have some of that? Will you share with me? What are you doing? What's happening in your life that's changing your marriage, your family? Give me some of that. And that's what can happen. That's what I'm doing right now with other brothers in our church, other ministers in our church. Look what it says here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. What was the change? When Paul was there, there was faith in motion, right? What was he saying? In my absence, what's happening? You know, I wonder what would happen if, you know, several years ago we learned this lesson that the whole ministry staff had to go for one reason or another. What would that do to the fellowship? That's what happened with Paul. You know, many times he had to go. It was a life or death situation. He said, guys, I got to go because I'm going to get killed. And I got more work to do. And then they had another guy, a stand-in minister. What happened? Their faith continued to grow more and more. And that was his encouragement. Our faith has to be dependent upon God, not on circumstance. And that means we move our faith. One of the concerns that I have is some of us are not moving our pens when we're hearing the Word of God. You're not writing it down. Why? So you can go over it again later. I need to take notes when I hear classes. And I hear a lot of them. And I got to write it down. These things are important because it's the Word of God. I may not get it today, but when I go over it again, I'll get even more. Okay, so take notes. Write these things down. And then the last verse, verse 13. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, and to will and act according to His good purpose. What's the charge for verse 13? Continue to do what? Work out your salvation. God has blessed us with so many good gifts, but what's our responsibility in all of this? He has an expectation for us to work out our faith. And that happens through different things. So tonight I'm going to ask you, what moves your faith? Okay? And I want you to write it down on your 5x7 card. Okay? What moves your faith? But it's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, to move and keep our faith moving. prayer night that's coming up on the 20th, and we have Larry to thank for that. You know what? I don't remember a prayer night where my faith wasn't moved. My fear is some of us may not show up. And you may have a good reason. That's okay. But some of us may not. That's an opportunity for your faith to be moved. You know, all of our marriage ministry is not here tonight. What's that tell you? There's people that are not using the opportunity that God's given them to move their faith. Even just the good news that we heard tonight is moving their faith. The teaching, the fellowship that we're going to have afterwards tonight, the encouragement, the things that we hear and see, just the hugs can stir our faith. You know, when I walked in tonight, I went over to Mike and he said, "I'm cancer free." You know, that moved my faith. I said, "I got to start praying for more stuff. And more fervently, more aggressively. If God can do that, then I'm going to ask for stuff. More." That moved my faith. But if I hadn't showed up tonight, that wouldn't have happened. I'd have gone home and watched some stupid program on television. And my brain would have turned to mush. No spiritual influence. Probably would have been tempted to think something not good. You know? But this is what our responsibility is. So faith and emotion, what does it produce? What does faith change lives? It changes lives. That's what my vision for this year in the marriage ministry is, there will be so many changed lives. That it won't be the minority, it will be the majority. Couples whose lives have been changed. Holy families. I mean, it's amazing what's happened to some of our families. Even the Wadsworth son. You know, Chris. I mean, that young boy is now a man. He was a counselor at teen camp, and the kids respected him. And I remember not too long ago, we were concerned about Chris, right? Now they're concerned about his radical dreams for God. You know, how's this all going to work? I like the better. I like the second more than the first. I mean, it's awesome. Changed lives. Changed families. And that's just the beginning. Holy families. Transformation. As I've already talked about. Inspiration. Isn't it an inspiration when we're seeing faith on the move? When we hear about our team ministry and what's happening? Isn't it inspiring? Are you inspired? And then what happens when faith is in motion? We have greater faith. And so tonight I want you to write down on your 5x7 card and try to write just, you know, brief things. Not a long list of things, because we're going to get a bunch. We're going to go through these and I'm going to be sharing some of your cards. I won't mention your name, but what moves your faith? And probably what moves your faith, guess what? It moves other people's faith. And in the next 3 weeks, we want to move our faith. Okay? So that's our lesson for tonight. It's the introduction. We got some scripture memory. This is the homework. Okay? It's up there on the screen. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. You think you can do that?
Yeah.
Alvin, is that too much to ask to memorize this verse? No? You got it? Okay, this scripture will help you when you're feeling the challenge. Because when you're feeling the challenge, you're going to say, "I got to work out my salvation right here, right now." And that's God's given me that. And I'm going to work it out through prayer. I'm going to work it out through perseverance. I'm going to work it out through fellowship. I'm going to work it out through getting advice, asking for help. Okay, and you can do it in any translation you want. It could be the Message Bible. It could be the New Living. It could be the King James. It could be Amplified. This is the NIV. Okay, are we good with that? Raise your hand if you're going to commit to memorizing the scripture this week. Okay, if you memorize the scripture, I promise you, your faith will move.